Blog Talk Radio.
Hopefully everyone is doing well today. Now this is another blessed day to be here. And I'm definitely grateful to be here in the land of the living. I'm grateful for you all that are tuning in right now. We're grateful for this platform to be able to spread the good news and the gospel to as many people as we can. We know in these days that we're living in, there's a lot of questionable things going on in the world right now, not only just in our country itself, but on this entire planet. And so we have to make sure that we are standing on the forefront as the believers in the church, for those that have yet to become saved, and for those that are just out here living. So we're praying for the salvation. We don't want anyone to be lost. Again, it's good to be here. Today we're going to go ahead and jump right into it. We're going to talk about Revelation. I'm going to touch on a little bit of the last part of Revelation, the 14th chapter, because we kind of didn't really get into that. Revelation, the 15th chapter, is only 8 verses. In fact, Revelation, the 15th chapter, is the smallest book in Revelation. Revelation, the 15th chapter, not very much information, so we may finish it a little fast tonight because there's only 8 scriptures in Revelation, the 15th chapter. But if we need to talk about some more things in Revelation tonight, I would do so. I believe that we can cover all of it in within an hour. I don't believe that we'll run out of things to talk about in Revelation 15 chapter. But again, if need be, we'll kind of visit some other subjects pertaining to Revelation and these end time events. As we were talking last night on the Freestyle Friday about some of the things that I've been researching and taking a look at. I looked at a little bit of some more videos on this this agenda to depopulate the earth. And it's funny because I have a brother that he sends me a lot of videos a lot of times. In fact, he sends me too many videos that I hardly ever have time to really look at them all. But when I do, if it's something that's kind of really piqued my interest, if it's pertained to what we've been discussing in Revelation, or just end time events and just things that are going on in the world pertaining to the Bible, I usually try to look at them and see what's being said, what's going on in the world. So I do appreciate my brother for sending me that information. So shout out to him. Shout out to Derek Oliver and his team for this platform and for so many souls that have been impacted and reached by this Chaos Talk Radio. Again, we are praying for each and every one of you. Oh, and be sure to be praying for Bus 806. His mother had passed away a little over a week ago. He lost his mom. So make sure that we are praying for that brother, that we're standing in the gap. I'm praying for him and his family and his loved ones. His mother passed away just a little over a week ago. As I stated last night, there are some people that are, it just seemed like, my wife was just saying the other week, it seemed like there's a lot of people that, that just surrounding us, not only just us, but just everyone. And maybe it's just me, it just seemed like a lot of people are leaving. So just be praying. Just make sure that we're prayerful. For the faith and for the world in general. So, with that being said, I'm not going to take very long. We're just going to go ahead and say a quick prayer. I'm going to go ahead and dive into the book of Revelation. So let's go ahead and get into it. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another blessed day. We thank you for our life, soul, health, and strength. We thank you for the many blessings that you bestowed upon us, one of them being life itself. And we thank you for life abundant, dear Heavenly Father. And we also thank you most of all for our eternal life and our eternal salvation, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for the many blessings that you bestowed upon your children. We bless and praise your holy name, dear Heavenly Father. We focus on growing your kingdom and bringing more saints to you, dear Heavenly Father, that more people may become saved and receive salvation. We are so grateful for our lives, our health, and our strength. We thank you so much, dear Heavenly Father, for the other saints. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your son, Christ, for his sacrifice to redeem us back to you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit for leading us and guiding us. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. Amen. I want to take this time also to to extend salvation to you. The plan of salvation, which comes from Romans the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, in which we confess with our mouth and we believe with our heart. Salvation is just that simple. Amen. I saw a video on social media the other day where someone was misinterpreting Romans the 8th chapter, verse 31, which says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" And verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress?" Paul asked a question: who shall separate us? Amen. No one can separate you from the love of God. The brother was saying something along the lines that we can separate ourselves. No, you cannot. You don't have that power. Once you have given your life to Christ, you belong to him. He didn't die on the cross to lose you. You know, we have to get rid of this loser mentality if we say that we are believers of the Most High. Because over in the book of St. John, the 10th chapter, verse 28 says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Well, where do you get the idea that you have the ability to lose your salvation or to walk away from Christ? Get rid of that loser mentality. Get rid of that loser ministry and that lying ministry, because that's what it is. That's not the truth. The scripture does not teach that you can lose your salvation. Christ doesn't lose. The Heavenly Father does not lose. He has sent his son, and his son has endured the test to redeem mankind. And the victory, that's why it's called a victory. I've never seen a team win a game and then turn around and say, "Oh, well, we lost." No, you did not lose. It's called a victory for a reason. The victory is in Christ, not yourself, because you can't save yourself. You don't have the power. If that was the case, Yahweh would have never sent his son, Christ, Yeshua. He would have never sent him. He would just say, "You know what? Save yourselves." But he knew that man could not redeem himself. Man could not live the life that he required for us to obtain salvation. You don't have the power to lose salvation. This is why Christ said what he said in St. John, the 10th chapter, verses 28 and 29. He said, "They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." This is Christ talking. Look at the letters in red. It says, "Neither shall any man." Are you not a man? So this is what Christ is saying, that nobody has the power to take you from me, not even you yourself. You cannot lose your salvation. I don't have a loser mentality. I'm not a loser. I'm a winner. Okay, my soul belongs to Christ. And when he returns to get me, whether I be in the grave or alive, I'm going back with him. I don't have a loser mentality. Anyone to me, in my personal opinion, anyone that preached that has a loser mentality. And to me, I question whether you're saved or not. I don't believe that you can be saved and believe that. I just don't, because that's a loser mentality. If I'm reading the same scripture that you're reading, how do you come to the conclusion that you could lose your salvation? Anyway, we're going to go ahead and get into Revelation, but I just want to just extend the plan of salvation to those that want to know, how can I become a saint? How can I become a believer, a real true believer? Not nobody's out there faking in front. Somebody who is a real true believer, someone who is really saved. This is how you receive salvation, okay? Does it mean that you're perfect? Absolutely not. I'm not perfect by far. I don't profess or proclaim to be perfect, but I notice that some people out here want to preach like they are perfect, and they are not perfect, trust me, by far, okay? The salvation is not about perfection. It's about you surrendering and giving your soul to Christ, okay, so that he can fix you. And when he returns, he's going to make you perfect, okay, when he returns. That's what Paul said, that when he raises us from the dead, he's going to raise us. He said that corruption is going to put on what? Incorruption. In other words, you're incorruptible. You cannot be corrupted by sin any longer. The time is not now when you're going to be perfect. People got that messed up. Their minds is messed up if they think that they can be perfect on this earth in this life. That's why so many people are falling by the wayside, because of these false teachings, okay? So we're going to go ahead and look at Revelation, the 14th chapter, and we're going to look at verses 14 through 20. Now, I'm just going to read Revelation, the 14th chapter, verses 14 through 20. I'm going to read them first, and the main focus of this context, okay, because this is a context. If you begin to read verses 14, which is a key verse, down to verse 20, verses 14 through 16 is what I'm going to mainly focus on, but I'm going to read the entire context, okay? So Revelation, the 14th chapter, verse 14 says, "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven." Now, remember, that's a key right there. So where is the temple? Because a lot of people believe that the temple is on earth. No, the temple is not on earth that it's referring to. This temple is where? The temple is in heaven. "He also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire." What does this angel have power over? Over fire. "And cry with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle." So we're going to find out who had the sharp sickle in the minute, okay? "Saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." Amen. "And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of Yahweh. And the winepress was trodden without the city. And blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs." Amen. So remember, I told you out of that context, I mainly want to focus on verses 14 through 16. Then we're going to jump into Revelation, the 15th chapter, which is going to be about the seven plagues. Okay? But I want to focus on this latter part because I really didn't get a chance the last time I left you guys. I believe it was over in December. It could have been November, but I want to say I believe it was December the last time we had talk about Revelation. We didn't get into this last part. So I want to deal with verses 14 through 16. This is the time for judgment, okay? And so you're going to learn, let me get my little books open here, where we are. This is before the return of Christ, the second coming of Christ. And if you know about the second coming of Christ, amen, there's going to be a great battle, the last battle on the earth, which is known as Armageddon, okay? Now, remember the Bible talked about wars and rumors of wars, and we know for many years that man has tried to keep so-called peace among the nations, okay, which is a false peace as well because man just cannot maintain. Man does not have that power to usher in peace. Why? Because there's just some evil, wicked people. Some people don't want peace, okay? We have to come to the reality that there are people who love war. They love mess. And that's just like, you know, some people that we may know. You know, people love mess, okay? People don't want peace. You see it in the churches. Sometimes people don't want peace, okay? So, again, I was telling you that Revelation the 15th is the shortest chapter in Revelation. But we're going to deal with this heavenly scenery before the greatest of all judgments, which is the bowl judgments, right? Okay? And since the seventh trumpet begins in the seven bowls, we are chronologically back to Revelation 11 chapter. But as you know, that Revelation is not in order, so therefore it just kind of give you an idea of where we are, okay? So now we're dealing with the time of judgment, okay? And this time of judgment, we are in the Great Tribulation. We're getting towards the very, very end of the Great Tribulation, dealing with Christ coming back to basically punish and defeat all his enemies, okay? So this is where we are. We talked about a little bit about Armageddon. So remember, okay, I just want to take a look at the 14th verse real quick. Now, this is talking about Christ in heaven. Now, this is where we are. When you see the verses, and it says in the verse 14 of Revelation 14, it says, "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man." Amen. So remember the reference of the Son of Man. We talked about that early in the book of Revelation. Who is like the reference of the Son of Man? You go to the book of Ezekiel, and I'm going to go there real quick because I have to throw this in there. Hey, man, it's a nugget. I'm going to throw this in there real quick. I wasn't really expecting to do this, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. Okay, we got some time. I want to go to the book of Ezekiel so you'll know. Hey, man, this is some deep stuff. So you'll know who's he talking about. So if you go to Ezekiel, the first chapter, verse 26, it says, and above the firmament, this is Ezekiel, that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. In other words, he's saying, when he says above upon it, in other words, a man sitting on the throne. That's what it means when it says above upon it, meaning that he's sitting upon the throne. Okay, I mean he's on the throne. Who's on the throne? Yahweh, the Heavenly Father, is on the throne. So what Ezekiel is telling you, when he saw this vision in heaven, he saw the Most High on the throne. And the Most High looked like what? Had the likeness as the appearance of a man. Isn't that amazing how he referenced what he saw like a man? And I tell people that a lot of people think angels look like us. Angels don't look like us. But we look like the Heavenly Father. Isn't that so neat that he made us to look like us? The Bible says, what art man that thou art mindful of him? In other words, what is man that you see so much about him that you actually went out your way to make man look like you? But the angels don't even look like him. But we look like Yahweh. This is how special we are as mankind. We look like the Heavenly Father. And so to understand this same, you also have to refer back over to Revelations, the 14th chapter, verse 14, where he says, he talks about what? The glorified Christ and how he looked like who? His Father in heaven. So I tell people that we look like the Heavenly Father. And if he, and we know he's a spirit, right? But we look similar to him. Amen. This is such a beautiful verse. This is, the Bible is beautiful. The word is beautiful. And I love this, okay? And so John over in Revelation is referring to what the similarity between the Father and the Son. You ever hear that saying, like Father, like Son? Or have you ever seen someone that has a son and people are like, boy, you look just like your daddy? You ever hear that saying? And I hear a lot of people say that about me, about me and my dad. They say, boy, he looked just like his daddy, but he just dark. And his daddy was just a little, my daddy was kind of light. He was kind of like considered light skin. He wasn't real light skin, but he was like more of a caramel brown color. Amen. But we get our darkness from our mom. My mom was dark. My dad was kind of like, when we saw pictures of him when he was young, he probably be considered red or light skin. But as he got a little older, you know, as black people, our skin tone kind of changes to a darker hue as they get older. But amen, but a lot of people say, boy, he looks just like his dad. He's just darker. Amen. So what? Like father, like son. And so you see Ezekiel and John giving this revelation of what they saw. So you knew that this was who? This was Christ over Revelation, the 14th chapter, verse 14. And again, we see Christ before he descends the earth, that this description of his magnificence. And what I mean by that, we just simply refer to the 14th chapter of Revelation, verse 14, where it says, having on his head a golden crown and his hand a sharp sickle. So remember, we talked about who has the sharp sickle. This is talking about Christ, the Messiah, the Most High, okay? And so we talk about Ezekiel, verse 1 and 26, the same thing. You see that how Ezekiel gave a beautiful description. He said, you know, remember I told you with these Old Testament saints and this old school saints, they do the best that they can to reference what they saw according to earthly things. So when he gave a description of the Most High, it just has the appearance of a sapphire stone. Okay, and so what he was saying, that he was so beautiful to look upon, this is how he had to describe him, okay? Now, verse 15 of Revelation, the 14th chapter says, and another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust thou in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Simply meaning it is time. some people kind of believe that this scripture, or this particular verse, is talking about that he's calling in the either the believer or the unbeliever. That's not what it's saying. It's simply saying the time, right? So that's what it's saying. So there is no so this is talking about the time, okay? That in other words, the time is right. Okay. Now, me and my brother had a conversation that was very, very interesting, and I'm gonna go ahead and share it with you guys right now. I remember studying this and remembering when Satan drew a third of the stars from heaven. And let me show you how the Holy Spirit works. That's why I love talking to my brother about the Bible. We could talk about something about the Bible, a specific subject, not having had a conversation about it prior to our conversation, and we come to the exact same conclusion. And what I'm saying is the Bible says that Satan drew a third of the stars from heaven, meaning that he took some of the angels with him. And I always thought that the Most High was recovering that number that he lost of saints with us, meaning that he's going to replace the angels that Satan had took from heaven with the saints on earth. See, with the Most High, it's always about a number. It's always about perfection. It's always about a number. So he had a set amount of angels that he had in heaven before Satan decided to turn against him and fall, and before Satan drew those angels from heaven. So what the Most High is going to do, he's going to replace those angels with us. I've always had that belief. And it was funny that last year, me and my brother had a conversation. He said, I'm going to share something with you, Tim. He said, now, you do understand and know that those angels that was left their first estate, that left heaven to follow Satan, that what Christ is doing before the Most High sends him back to raise the saints from the dead and gather those that are still alive on earth, he's waiting for that perfected number to hit. That's why the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. We don't know, only the Most High knows. And I was funny that he said that. I said, you know what? It's funny that you said that, because I always had that belief that the Most High was waiting till that number is perfected. Excuse me. He's waiting to gather, waiting for us to hit that number. Now, that's just our belief. We're not saying that scripture. Hold on one moment. Amen. Kind of get a little excited. I don't want to get to talking a lot. Throat kind of get a little dry. So we're not saying that the scripture said it. That's just our spiritual belief. And I'll tell you a lot of times, when I have a spiritual thought, a spiritual belief, I'll share it with you when it's separate from the word, okay? And I'm just saying that's our belief. But it's funny that me and him came to the same conclusion. We have the same belief in that once that number is replaced, Christ is going to come down and he's going to raise those saints from the dead. And he's going to gather those that still are alive and remain, and we're going to go back to heaven. And right after that happens, the tribulation is going to start, the seven-year period. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene. And we know what's going to happen in the middle of the seven-year period. Okay? Okay, he's going to go back on his word to the world. Okay? The false peace. Because he's going to declare peace, and every world is going to give him all praise. We see all the chaos. Now, we know what happened the first week of this year. Something that I've not seen since I've been alive. People storming the Capitol. Civil unrest. Wars. Rumors of wars. This false peace. They'll keep saying peace over here. Peace. There's not going to be any peace until Christ returns. And then so now we're in the latter half of the Great Tribulation, what I call the Great Tribulation. There's a whole seven-year period of the tribulation. But that last 3.5 years, I call it the Great Tribulation. Why? Because the mark of the beast, the false prophet, and then, of course, you know, the Antichrist, amen, is going to be wreaking havoc over there. But that last 3.5 years, Christ is going to do what? He's going to pour out his wrath, the wrath of God. On who? On the unbelief, the unbelievers, the ones who do not believe, the ones who are going to take the mark of the beast, the satanic mark on their foreheads or in their hands. You know, he's going to pour out his wrath. They're going to pay dearly for rebellion against the Most High. Okay? And so the grapes are fully ripe. We talk about that. Again, this is a time period in which the living soul has chosen either to become a believer or to remain an unbeliever. Okay? So there's not really talking about choosing the size. And we'll get a little bit more deeper into that about the size here in a minute, okay? Now, the blood coming out of the winepress is a symbolic battle, which is the enormous army will come against Christ. Remember, we talked about Christ just before he returns, the battle of Armageddon. All the armies of the earth are going to battle together. And I know that when I was in school, our instructor had told us about how the Chinese army boasts over 200 million soldiers. That is a lot of people. That's more than most nations. In fact, that's more than half the people in the United States. So we know that China is definitely going to be part of this battle. Why? Because they have the largest army on the planet, from what we understand. Then we look at larger nations like Africa, Asia, in the European, the Americas, South America, the entire earth is going to come together for this battle. The largest, greatest armies of the earth are going to come together. Now, in saying this, we know that Russia and China are usually allies. Okay, we talk about this. Now, watch this. Now, there are several scriptures that basically give a description of this battle. And I also kind of give some details. So let's go to Isaiah, the 63rd chapter, verses 1 through 4. Watch this. It says, who is this who comes from Edom, the Edomites, which with dyed garments from Bozrah, this one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? I speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your power red? Ooh, look at that. Who was red? What two nations both red? China and Russia. Why is your power red? Ooh. So we kind of see how that makes sense, how they used to teach us in school about the garments and how the armies and the nations both red. Okay. Who is that? China, Russia. We know they're allies. What color are these nations? Red. And your garments like one who treads in the winepress. Are these wealthy nations? Yes, they are. They're great powers. In fact, there are some lessons, some teachings on how it is believed that China owns a lot of America. America doesn't own itself like a lot of people think. America is actually split up and owned among foreign nations. And I thought that was very interesting how we put up this facade like this great nation, which, in my opinion, has already fallen apart. A lot of people think America is what it is. It's not, which is another example of why people stormed the Capitol. So watch for these different signs and things in the days that we are living in. We are definitely in the end. Amen. We're not quite there in the we're in the last times, as Paul and as John said over in the books, some of the books of the Bible. We are in the last time. We're not in the last days yet. We're not in the great tribulation period yet. Amen. However, I believe that we are definitely marching towards that closer and closer. We know that we are, right? Let me finish reading. It says, and I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me, for I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeem has come. Okay, so Christ is using the word of his mouth and will destroy what? The greatest collection of troops ever assembled in one location. This is what's going to happen. All these nations, we talk about the UN, the United Nations, we talk about the one world government, okay? And they're going to all, whoever this is going to be, these nations, okay, are going to still come for battle, okay? This is what some people consider the World War III. This is not World War III. Some people believe it is. I don't believe it is. Of course, the Bible says it's Armageddon, okay? There's going to probably be some type of World War III type of action going on. But the Antichrist, we believe, and remember, this World War III thing and this Armageddon thing is not going to happen until after the saints are called home. I tell the saints, we don't have to worry about this stuff. Stop worrying about this stuff. We're not going to even be here. Christ is going to come back and get the saints. He's going to raise the dead first. He's going to come back and get us, there, which are alive and remain, and we'll be caught up to heaven with him. So you won't have to worry about this. It's going to be the unbelievers that's going to have to deal with this World War III, the fear of war, Armageddon, okay? And so this is another thing. This I got to share this with you because this is something that's being taught. And we're probably going to cover this. We may look at this again a little later over some chapters in Revelation. But I got to share this with you. I had a dream many years ago within my salvation. I can't remember exactly what year I had this dream, but it's been since the last 20 years since I've been saved. I had this dream that we was at a building. I don't know if it was a school building or what it was, but for some reason, it was me and my family, friends and loved ones. We were protected, and these great hailstones came out of the sky. Looked like they were about the size of basketballs, raining down from heaven. And when it rained, there was like this trumpet that blew, like the sound of a trumpet, a horn that blew. When this horn blew, these giant hailstones were beating on the earth. I mean, just beating on the earth. I'm like, Lord have mercy. I mean, like beating like you couldn't imagine. Just like beating like someone beating a drum, just beating on the earth. Just coming down and just killing those who were unbelievers. But those of us who were believers, we were protected. So to me, this building symbolized some type of protection over us, that we were not going to be harmed by these great hailstones. But those who were unbelievers were being killed and being just murdered, just being pummeled by these hailstones. They were large, like basketballs. And when the horn, like it blew, they stopped. Or they would just stop raining down. And all of a sudden the horn would blow again, and then they would just rain down and just drum on the earth, just beating on the earth. And those who were just out there were just being just killed, just beating on the earth, and then they would just stop. Then the horn blew again. I'm just like, Lord, have mercy. Man. And what's so funny about that is that in the description of my lesson, my study, it says hailstones weighing approximately 100 pounds each will fall from heaven with the blood of the rebellious army, creating a river of blood that reaches up to horses' bridles, as we will learn in Revelation, the 16th chapter. Man, I thought that was amazing. So I tell people, because, you know, some people have this debate, they're torn that the saints will be here during the Great Tribulation. Some say, no, we won't be here. Let me tell you this, saints. If I don't believe we will be here, but if we was to be here, as I just told you, it's revelation in my dream and the revelation of the scriptures, we as the saints will be protected. You don't have to worry about this stuff. The only people who's going to go through this dreadful time with fear and persecution and punishment and judgment is going to be the unbelieving man and woman. Those are the only people. We already know the children won't be here. They'll be gone. They'll be protected. That's why we say that we'll be raptured or caught up or gathered together out of here. Well, I don't even believe we'll be here. But if we was to be here, amen, we know we're going to be protected. Now, I believe the church won't be here. So the saints that I believe that will be here will be those who choose to believe after the saints have been caught up to heaven. They're going to be protected. And as you can see from the description that I read, let me read again. It says hailstones weighing approximately 100 pounds each. Remember, I talked about these big old stones, big like basketballs. Man, you can't imagine that. I think about hailstorms here in Texas. We get these big old golf-sized hails that, you know, beat up on your car. While most people in Texas have, like, either garages or sheds to keep their cars from, because hail damage is bad here in Texas. You know, most of the time I know where we live, like, tornadoes are kind of bad. And hailstones is a sign of a tornado. So we get large hail first, and then there's like a tornado somewhere in the area. I think about how those things beat on your roof, man. When they come down, it's like, man, they like golf ball beating on your roof. It's like, goodness, man, it is helling bad out there. Can you imagine basketball-sized hail, weighing an excess of 100 pounds, beating on the ground. Man, that stuff would come through your roof. That stuff would beat your car roof. I mean, that stuff would, man, you can't imagine it. And that's why I say when I had this dream and that trumpet just blew, they just came down beating on the earth. And those who were unbelievers just dying, just being killed. And it could have been, you know, as the scripture says, it talks about the army. And it talks about, watch this, it says hailstones weighing approximately 100 pounds each will fall from heaven with the blood of the rebellious army, creating a river of blood that reaches up to. Do you ever seen a horse? The horse's backs are pretty big, pretty tall. I'm about 6 foot, and horses' bridles are probably about to my chest or where my head is, and that area. That's pretty tall. So can you imagine blood? And most women heights don't even reach 5'5" or 5'6". So if women were standing, blood, their head would be covered. Because how tall the river of blood is going to be. We talked about this in class when I was in a seminary school, and they talk about how the blood is going to be so bad. It's going to be like a river. Now I'm talking about, you're going to be talking about like an empty valley with land going to be filled with so much blood. It's going to beat down from heaven, going to beat down and just murder them, that the blood is going to be like up to my chin. That's amazing. That is a lot of blood. That is a lot of dead body. And remember, I told you about the Chinese army, how they have over 200 million soldiers. So we're not just talking about just 200 million soldiers. So you got to imagine, not only just them, the other armies that are going to be gathered there in that valley with them. Probably hundreds of millions of soldiers, but they're going to all die just like that. And you're going to be talking about miles of nothing but just blood. Up to a man that's almost 6 feet tall. We're talking about probably blood over 5 feet, just flowing like a river. That's going to be, I'm telling you, when I tell you like I've been saying all last year, you don't want to be here. You don't want to be on the other side. You don't want to be here when this stuff takes place. These folks who are boasting swelling words against the Most High, man, they're going to pay. They're going to pay dearly. But I want to share that part of Revelation 14 chapter verse 14 through 16. I want to share that with you because I thought it was very important, because we need to understand what the Bible is saying to us. Now we're going to go ahead and jump over to Revelation the 15th chapter, okay? And I'm just going to read verses 1 through 8 because, again, there's a lot that can be said. So I want to bounce over real quick, but I'm going to do it in Revelation the 15th chapter. I'm going to bounce over probably over to Matthew. So let's read it first, then we're going to go from there. Revelation, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Remember, it's the smallest book of Revelation. It says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of Yahweh, God of heaven. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast," amen, "over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of Yahweh." Amen. All glory to the Most High. Give him praise and glory. Victory. As I told you, man, victory. See, how could you say you got the victory, but you can lose your salvation? You ain't got no victory. You got defeat. How can you say you got the victory, but you can make a choice to leave God? You ain't never had no victory. You got defeat. See, I got the victory because my soul belongs to the Most High, and Satan don't have no power. No, Satan, all his fallen angels, his demons, his imps, simps, whatever you want to call them, none of them don't have power over my soul. And see, that's why he's mad, because he knows that I can't lose my salvation. I don't preach that weak stuff. See, that's that weak stuff these other preachers out here, and they're supposed to be out here preaching. That's weak stuff. We don't preach weak stuff. We preach power. Christ is powerful. God, Yahweh, is powerful. The Holy Spirit is powerful, and we got the victory. We don't lose. We win. Amen. As they used to say back in the day, we don't die. We multiply. That's believers. We don't die. We multiply. Amen. So we don't teach that weak stuff over here. Okay? So now, back over to where it says, we're dealing with Revelation 15 chapter verses 1 and 2. So we talk about the wrath of God, right? So
So again, we're talking about these are the saints, not the church saints. Okay, we are already gone to heaven. These are the people who are going to overcome the mark of the beast. I keep telling you, people are so afraid and frantic in the church talking about they ain't going to accept the mark. Well, I hope you ain't going to even be here to accept the mark. Because if you believe, if you ain't teaching that weak stuff and believing that weak stuff that you can fall from salvation, you're not going to even be here to begin with. Those of us that believe, I'm talking about the real true saints, not that faking and shaking stuff, the real true saints, the brotherhood, the what's called the Church of Brotherly Love, amen, Revelation, the third chapter, the Church of Philadelphia, the real believing saints. No, we won't even be here. So when the mark of the beast don't matter, all you're talking about, all this chip, are you going to take this shot? Are you going to take this? Let's get something straight. This shot that they talk about is not the mark of the beast. People talking about this, that's a vaccination, okay? All these things are gearing you up. They're gearing people's mindset to accept the world governments and the governments and what the rich say and the so-called. They're not elite. They so-called. They fake elite. They ain't the elites. We are the elites because we're going to live for all eternity. That's elite. When you're going to live for all eternity. When you're going to burn the lake of fire with Satan and his fallen angels and demons and imps and simps, you ain't elite. That's not elite. We're the elite because we're with Christ. And Christ and the Most High God, Yahweh, the Holy Spirit, that's elite, to be in heaven with pure, clean garment, with gold, streets of gold. See, that's elite living. That stuff where you're going to be burning in fire and brimstone, that ain't elite. Man, please. You're going to be with the beast and the false prophet and the lake of fire burning with Satan all for all eternity. Amen. That's what's going to happen. So now watch this. Now it says, and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of Yahweh. They got the victory. Amen. Now you kind of see what we're about to talk about, the believers and unbelievers, and when Christ is going to separate who? The wheat from the tares. This is what it was talking about in the time of judgment in Revelation, the 14th chapter, verses 14 through 20. You see that he said the time is right. Okay? He wasn't talking about the believers and unbelievers. He was just simply talking about the time. It is time is basically what they were saying. Christ, it is time. That's what the angel is saying when he says, another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. He was just simply saying it's time. That's Revelation, the 14th chapter, verse 15. The angel is simply saying, Christ, it's time. Amen. All glory be to the Most High. And it says in verse 3 of Revelation, the 15th chapter, verse 3, it says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord Yahweh Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Man, I can't wait to this time. See, some folks can't wait to graduate from college. Some folks can't wait to hit $1 million. Some folks can't wait to buy that house on the hill. Some folks can't wait to have a certain amount of money on their account. Some folks can't wait to buy a luxury car. Some folks can't wait to get that luxurious bag. Some folks can't wait till they become famous and rich or whatever, or get that big contract. Some of us can't wait till Christ come back to get us. Amen. So all these things that was promised to me is going to be greater than all those things, them trinkets that you're going to get from Satan and from the world. We're going to get much more than that, and we're going to get to enjoy it for all eternity. We ain't got to worry about losing it. We ain't got to worry about we ain't got to worry about dying. We ain't got to worry about this silly virus that's out here, and I call it silly because we know that it's implemented by the devil himself. We ain't got to worry about all this silliness and this foolishness that the world is teaching depopulation and destroying kids. They have the nerve to say that they want to sterilize people in Africa. What kind of mess is that? Sterilize yourself. Sterilize your own family. Sterilize your own children. Leave other people alone. You know, we got the people out here in the world that got the nerve to try to dictate and say who got the right to live, who got the right to reproduce, who got the right. Talking about people just taking up space. You taking up space. You think the Most High didn't know what he was doing when he created Earth? This world is finite. We could put 100 billion people on this planet, it'll still be enough room, it'll still be enough water, it'll still be enough food, it'll still be enough air. If you stop polluting the air, stop junking up the water with trash, and if you stop just sitting there wasting land and being wasteful and just destroying animals and destroying the atmosphere and the ozone and just stop destroying, he knew what he was doing when he created Earth. You think the God that put the sun in the sky, the moon and the stars and the galaxy and the sun and the God, and gave us air to breathe, there are many things that we can't, that God say is simple to me. We don't even understand. It's so complicated. Your mind, you could be a million years, you still wouldn't understand it. But we think we know more. Well, no, not we. They think they know more than the Most High. Oh, man, but when he come back, like one of my brothers used to say back in the day, oh, when he come back, he going to break them off, son. Amen. He going to break them off, son. They think they know. They think they know everything. But wait till judgment comes, and I can't wait. What you going to do, sinner man? Like my dad used to say, you can run, but you can't hide. Well, you can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. Where you going to go, sinner man? When Christ come back, when Heavenly Father, when they show his face upon that throne, amen, ain't nowhere for you to go. Amen. Let's look at the song of Moses. This is coming from Exodus, the 15th chapter, verses 1 to 3. Of course, you know, I'm not a songster. I ain't going to try to sing. I'm just going to read it to you. Amen. But again, you can look at it. It's coming from Exodus, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 3. It says, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Amen. All glory to the Most High. So the martyrs during the time of the Great Tribulation, the last half, because we know the last half of the Great Tribulation, what's going to happen? We know the Antichrist is going to be mortally wounded. He's going to come back alive. He's going to amaze the world. The world's going to think, oh, man, this is Christ. This is God. This is the man God. He's a demigod. This is the man right here. We need to serve him. And he's going to demand everyone say, okay, if you want to serve me, you got to get this mark on your forehead and in your hand, this tattoo. The world's already prepared itself for this. They don't even know it. They walk around with all these tattoos on all their body. They slapped all this junk on their body, messing up their skin. Boy, please, when you get 60, 70, 80 years old, you're going to see all that junk. You're going to wish then that you hadn't put all that junk on your body. I saw some beautiful, you know, people. Young ladies got all that stuff on their body. I said, boy, if they live to see, you know, years of wrinkles where you get 60, 70, 80 years old, they're going to wish they hadn't put that mess on their bodies. But people don't understand that you've already prepared yourself to receive the mark. Because why? People getting tattooed like nothing. People don't see that we are marching right on the time of this tribulation. People don't even see it. They don't even see it. And so what you got to understand is that we're not going to be able to even deal with that stuff. Tell people, you don't have to worry about the mark. If you're a believer, you're not going to be here. Remember, the plan of salvation is Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 10 and 9. I'm sorry, 9 and 10. All you have to do is believe that. You don't have to go to no church and let nobody rub you down in no oil and turn you around 3 times until you walk out the door and come back in just to tell you you're saved. It ain't no stuff like that. Ain't nobody going to tell you you got to go through these lists of rules. I've actually heard somebody say that this pastor of this church had a list of rules or something to go by for them to become saved. Boy, I tell you, if y'all stop going to these demonic churches and these demonic pastors believing all this message that y'all being taught, there is no such thing. You could be in your bed. You could be by yourself, and all you have to do is just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. It's just that simple. Salvation belongs to our God. It don't belong to me. It don't belong to your neighbor. It don't belong to your pastor or his assistant pastor or the evangelist at your church. Salvation belongs to God. He sets the rules and the regulation and says how you can become saved. And Christ has already said, now if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. I got to visit Romans, the 10th chapters 9 and 10. I'm going to go ahead and finish Revelation. We're going to go ahead and shut it down for tonight. We'll be back next week, be Yahweh's will. We're going to be talking about Revelation, the 16th chapter. But I just have to go. You know, I love plan of salvation because why? It's the keys to the kingdom. It's the gateway in how you get in. Amen. There is no other way. Amen. Christ said, if you come another way, amen, you're a thief and a robber. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth in the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, amen, thou shalt be saved. It's just that simple and easy. Amen. Give all glory to the Most High. I just realized something I just said. I just said that he said that if you come any other way, you're a thief or a robber. Wow, ain't that something? That's spiritual revelation. So if you believe, and that's it, that's all you need. If you try to say that you can become saved by what you do, you're a thief. You're a robber. That means you ain't got no salvation. So people who believe that, you're not even saved. There you have it. Look at that. Man, ain't that something? People are teaching this weak ministry. Oh, well, you got to do this to be saved. No, you don't. You just have to, all you got to do is believe, and you're saved. Let's go back over to Revelation, the 15th chapter, so we can go ahead and get ready to shut it down. Revelation, the 15th chapter. Amen. Verse 4 is where we left off. We got four more verses. It says, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple. There's that temple again. Where's the temple at? It's in heaven. That's just so you'll know, because some people believe the temple is on earth. No, it's in heaven. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen. Don't you want that pure and white linen? I know I want it. Amen. And I'm going to get to live forever in pure and white linen. And having their breasts girded with golden girdles. Golden girdles. Man, that's beautiful to behold. I'm talking about that gold has got to be so gold and pure and bright, shining, and then that beautiful white robe is so pure and white, shining. With your human eyes, you probably couldn't even look at it. It's probably so beautiful. And you probably have to close your eyes. It's so pure and so beautiful and bright, right? Because why? It has the glory of the Most High. Verse 7 says, and one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. Amen. You see that? He liveth forever and ever. I want to live forever. Don't you want to live forever? That's the greatest gift. You think having $1 billion and living 1 million years is the greatest gift? I tell you right now, that's the greatest curse, because you're going to die sooner or later. It may be 1 million years from now, but you're going to die. See, I got something that I get to be rich and live for all eternity. Amen. That's what I want. Now watch what it says in verse 8. And the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of Yahweh and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Beautiful. Amen. So hopefully something was said to bless you spiritually this evening. Amen. Our main goal is to get as many people saved as possible. Amen. And we just want to give you spiritual knowledge of things to come. This should be the message that should be preached all over the world by all the churches and all the pastors, if they say they are believers. Yet you still see people talking about, you know, the house on the hill and how many cars you want, how many cars they want, and how much money you can have. And I'm like, man, you know, that's old. That's an old message. And it's okay maybe to preach it once or twice, you know, but the real glory, the real victory is in Christ and eternal life and what he's going to reward you with for all eternity, not what you can get on earth, in which man can break in and steal. And the Bible says, I think over in Matthew, how moths do eat up, how your stuff can rust. That's not what we want. You know, you pass away, you can't take nothing with you. This stuff is going to stay here. Somebody's going to either be fighting over, inherit it, or steal it. Okay, now, somebody inherits it, that's cool, but it's still going to turn old. You know, majority of the people in this country, in America, in the U.S. in particular, we're not driving cars from the 1950s. I'll tell you that right now. You don't always see cars from that time. Why? Because they're old. They've rusted. You know, the parts are worn on, or they don't make the parts for it no more. And so the point I'm making is the thing that people valued 50 and 70 years, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, is either not in existence or nobody really cares about it. Amen. You know, we're living in 2021, and the thing that you value is the things of your day and time. But you see that the Bible says only what you do for Christ shall last. I'll say it again. Only what you do for Christ shall last. Nothing else really matters. Amen. So we give him all the glory and all the praise. Amen. I want to kind of share something else with you real quick and see if I can. I'm going to come back and revisit this. I told you that this is going to be a theme that I'm going to teach eschatology. You can teach this forever. Amen. You can never. I can teach this for the rest of my life. I will live 100 years. I can teach on Revelation for the next 100 years. That's how much is in this book of the Bible. But I want to go to you real quick to Matthew, the 13th chapter. And I just want to share these verses. Now I'm going to get ready to shut it down. We got a few more minutes. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 24 through 30. I'm going to read it swiftly. It says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, this is Christ. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Amen. Kind of reminds you of the church, right? Yes, it does. The intent of it is good, right? Okay, he sowed good seed. The intent is good. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. In other words, there are some that are unbelievers that are what? In the church. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field, from whence then hath it tares? Yeah, he said, they're asking a question. Well, did you not sow good seed? No, if I sow good seed, shouldn't only good come of it? Right? And then they want to know, the servants want to know, from whence then hath it tares? Why are there some tares in here with the wheat? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. Amen. So who is the enemy? Satan. Satan has put tares in the church. And this is why we say people go around talking about, oh, ain't no such thing as once saved, always saved. These folks are teaching a weak ministry. The Bible don't teach that. You got so many false prophets and false teachers in the church. They have their own agenda. Okay? You want to be a wheat, not a tare. Okay? And watch this. Now watch this. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. So who's the reference here? Amen. The reference is talking about Christ. Christ is the word, the good seed, right? The field is what? The church, the congregation. So the wheat is what? The good, the believers. And the tares are what? The unbelievers, which are in the church. You have unbelievers. Now, again, this refers back to, I think it's Revelation, the third chapter. I'm going to go over this, but we talked about, when he's talking about how he said, I'd rather you be hot or cold and not what? Lukewarm. Because if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out. Remember, the hot is the believers, the lukewarm is the unbelievers, and the cold is the unbelievers. You got to know these things. You got to know how to interpret the word. And he said, I'm going to go back to Matthew 13:20. I'm going to shut it down. Amen. It said, he said unto them, an enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Watch what he said. But he said, nay. Least while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. He's not, Christ don't want you to sit there and bring in, in other words, he's not going to judge the wheat with the tares. No, I don't want you to do that. But watch what he said. Let both grow together until the harvest. Remember, we talk about until the what? Right time, until it's time, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Christ, at an appointed time, he's going to separate. Ooh, what a day that's going to be, judgment. He's going to take those who are the unbelievers. He's going to gather them up, and what are they going to do? He's going to burn them in the lake of fire. We know that lake of fire is real. You cannot believe it if you want to. People can make jokes about it all they want to, but I guarantee you right now in hell, There are people who wish they had a second opportunity, or at least wish they can come back and tell their family, friends, and even their very enemies, man, get saved. Whatever you can do, make sure that you believe so you can get into this kingdom of heaven. Don't come to hell. Amen. But he says, but gather the wheat into my barn. We're going to be gathering. We're going to go to heaven. Amen. So all glory be to the Most High again. Hopefully something was said to bless your spirit and bless your soul. I'm always blessed when I can teach because why I learn so much when I just teach. I learn so much through the Holy Spirit as I just revealed to you about, you know, people talking about, you know, that they don't believe certain things when it comes to salvation. The Bible said that you can only come to salvation through him. If you come any other way, you're a thief and a robber. Amen. Family, I love you. You all be blessed and have a good night. You have a wonderful week. Again, be praying for Brother Buster Bus and his family as he had lost his mom a little over a week ago. Family, we're praying for each and every one of you. We love you. Thank you for listening. Until next Saturday night, we'll be back again 6 p.m. We're going to be talking about Revelation 16. I love you. The Most High bless you. Have a good week. Stay safe and take care. Amen. Have a good night.